The scripture reading this morning will be Romans 13, 11 through 14. Romans 13, 11 through 14. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof.
Thank you, Colin. Time to wake out of sleep. You know, I guess I could start off with a little humorous story. Would not be too well out of line. I don't know whether it's the congregation's fault or the preacher's fault. But a preacher up in southeast South Dakota told me one night, one of those cold winter nights, you know, a lot of snow, and the kids had played in the snow all afternoon. And they came in, the house was warm, and the preacher was preaching his sermon, and pretty soon there's somebody dropped off, and nothing dropped off. And pretty soon he looked back, and there wasn't anybody awake. He said, well, he says, I guess since everybody's asleep, I guess I might as well just offer the invitation and go home. So he made a few statements, and they all stood up, and the song leader happened to be asleep too. And he began to hit the page trying to find his songs. But I think the statement is time to wake out of the sleep would be quite appropriate in that particular case. I watch Ag Day. I don't know how many of you get to watch Ag Day. It's 4:30 on KLST, our Channel 5 station here. And then if you miss it then, you could get it about 7 o'clock over, stations way up high. I don't know, on our little channel. But what I'm trying to say that the other day I watched the program, and they had a rancher up in South Dakota, a farmer, had lots of land, and he planted the land in corn and maize and things of that nature. And he would charge hunters to come from all over the country, you know, to hunt pheasants there on his farm. And the story was that he raised all of these pheasants to release them out there on the farm. And he was releasing a rooster. And what really got me on it, you know, he had put the rooster's head under his wing, and he had given him a few hands like this, you know, and just laid him down. And, of course, the old rooster just lay there asleep. It reminded me when I was a kid, I really got in trouble. My brother, just older than I, 2 years, and what he couldn't think of, I'd help him do it. But anyhow, one mother had a bunch of little fryer broilers there ready, just good sized little chickens, and we got after one day, and we put one's head on his wing, gave him a few lips like this, and laid him down. Well, let's see how many we can do. And boy, we're laying them out, you know. I don't remember how many we had, and Mama caught us. And that wasn't pleasant at all. But anyhow, this thought, awake out of thy sleep. Let's look at that again, just real carefully. Let's see. And knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Oh, there's so many things we'd like to talk about here in this lesson this morning, but I'll try to hold it down to about 25 more minutes, less maybe. You know, there's a lot of things that are happening in the church today that are really against what God has advised us on. You know, when I talked this morning about Galatians 5:19, and I want to just mention one word out of that verse, He said, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these? Adultery, fornication, lascivious, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, wrath, immolation. Wrath, strife, and sedition. Immolation. You know, I understand the word emulate means I want to copy that. I want to copy that. You know, that was a problem that the Israelite people had. When they looked around and they saw all of the nations about them that had a king, and they said to Samuel, give us a king like the nations about us. Now, this lesson this morning is going to basically come from the book of Ephesians, but the church at Ephesus was also having the same problem that Colin read to us in the book of Romans. They were sleeping some themselves. I believe it's in Galatians, the 5th chapter. And there from about verse 19, if I have my Ephesians. I do have trouble with my eyes. Let's look at. It says in verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful work of darkness, but rather reprove him, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But in all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whosoever doth manifest the light, wherefore he says, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Now, this thought again, as we read in Romans, and here we said, awake thou that sleepest. Now, the church was established in Ephesus, and now then, as I turn over to Acts 20:28, he said to the elders, he said, take heed unto thyself and unto the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. Feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his blood. Now, these elders have an instruction to feed the church of God. Now then, I think these elders, that now we read, awake thou that sleepest to the elders. And the Acts tells the elders that said, take heed unto thyself and unto the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. Feed the church of God. Now, I truly believe that these elders must have been making some pretty serious mistakes. When I turn to the book of Revelation, now here we find the church established. Here we find words saying, awake thou that sleepest. Now then, there must have been some leadership or elders in that church at Ephesus, they were taking a snooze. Maybe they were not literally asleep, but they were in a slumber, of stupor of some kind. When I get to Revelation, the 2nd chapter, I find there, under the church, to the angel of the church at Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the 7 stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks. I know thy works. Now I want you to look at some of the real good things about the church at Ephesus. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them that are evil, and that thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And hast borne and hast patience for my name's sake, and hast labored and hast not fainted. Now, that's a pretty good congregation when you look at it there. But then John, with the instructions of the Lord, wrote, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Now, we find a congregation that was established. Paul spent 3 years there working with them. I had written to them in the fifth chapter of the book, "Awake thou that sleepest." Now they were going to sleep. Now what happened to these people that he had told the elders to take heed unto themselves and unto the flock? You know, I have served with the congregation here for about a year as an elder. And because of difficulties that we have encountered in our family, most of you who are members know that on May the 8th, Martha fell, and we've had a pretty uphill climb since then. And because I do not feel that I'm really capable of doing everything as an elder should in the congregation, I felt like that it was, you know, better that I resign. And of course that leaves George without a helper, and George will be resigning because. But that doesn't mean the church is going to cease to exist or anything here. I think it'll rejuvenate and be doing greater things. But what I want to know, what I'd like to say is, we have such a responsibility to the congregation that no one snoozes or is in a stupor spiritually. I know when I read the book of Luke the eighth chapter. You know, he said concerning the seed, he said, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a farmer that went forth to sow his seed. And some of these seed fell by the wayside. That's on what we call the turning row in the farming in my part of the country. We go out to the end of the row, and of course this is 50, 60 years ago, turn that old planter around, one row planter, but the little old chain kept dropping out some seed as the planter plate kept turning. These seed fell out on the end of the, but then it put the plow on the ground, and here it go back with that four horses and one row lister planting that grain, whatever it might be, Sudan or maize or kaffir, high gear, whatever. Well, the birds come and eat that seed that falls out here on the turning row. But it's seed that falls by the wayside. The devil picks it up right quick. I don't know how many sermons I have preached over the years that I know the gospel was planted. I know there were there those that needed to listen to it. But I know that Satan grabbed that word real quick out of the heart. Can you imagine how soon someone misses the point? He said the kingdom is like this. A sower went forth to sow, and some of the seed fell by the wayside, and some fell on the stony ground. Well, a stony ground. We had that on our farm too, a little patch on the west end of the farm where stones kind of cropped out there. But it was always planted. Never did take the planter out of the ground. But very seldom did you ever see anything in that little spot of maybe, 50 feet across where the rock was really there. Well, you know, some seed falls into the stony ground. And it comes up, but because of the lack of soil, roots, you don't expect it because it's got hard. I preach to a lot of hard hearts. I don't like to think about it, but there are hearts that just is not receptive. It may start, but it dies. But then comes the real sad part of the story. We call it sourdough. I don't know what the botanical name of the plant was, but it was about the size of this pulpit here. But anyhow, this rostrum up here. But anyhow, the planter never was removed from the ground as it went through that little sourdough patch. But it would be choked out. Now, some of the seed falls among the briars in Luke, the 8th chapter. It comes up, but it's choked. Now, the sad part of this is, when that seed falls among these, some are choked by cares and pleasures and riches. Now, in the 85 or 84 years plus that I have lived, I know that pleasures are gaining on the world, on our nation. I know that pleasures are there. I know the first old Phil Cole radio that we had, how that everybody would gather around that thing to listen to Joe Louis and Max Mellon or somebody like that. But then come TV, and we were about 120 miles from Oklahoma City, and they'd come to work and say, "Boy, did you watch TV last night?" "Sure was good." And then the next night, "Oh, it was snowy. You couldn't get anything." But just think how that TV, whew, there's four fingers pointing back at me, isn't there? You know, it takes so much of our time. That's one pleasure. I don't know just exactly what a ticket to the, what would a ticket to the, what in the World Series, what do they call that about 3 weeks ago? What do they call that one? That's it. I wonder what a ticket would have cost. Well, I wonder how many people had those that they knew that had needs, or the gospel need to be preached. Well, we need to awaken to some of these things. Now, the cares, pleasure, that's thousands of people, thousands upon thousands of people, and some of the little congregations just struggle to get their little crowd together. I don't know. I can't quite figure it out. I wonder. Awake thou that sleepest. Do we have the same problem that the church at Ephesus had when it was planted and it was such loyal, faithful, and then when Paul said, "Take heed unto yourselves and unto the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers," and then later on, "I have somewhat against thee." I kind of like that church at Ephesus. Man, they were doctrinally strong. I don't know what happened, really. But they had left their first love. How much is our love from one for another? How much do we care one for another? Are we concerned about one another? Well, it's something to think about, isn't it? Well, as we think more about the cares, well, pleasures, we covered that, and cares. Cares can choke us. I don't know how things will be when my children's children, my grandchildren, or my great-grandchildren. Boy, we've got great-grandchildren. Martha and I counting them up now, 6, 7, 8. 2 on the way. And you know what? Great children are going to have to pay our debt. Cares? Well, you know, that's just a part of the system, isn't it? Well, it's a time for us to awake out of sleep. It means awake. To arouse oneself to a better course of conduct. My conduct, your conduct. You know, we're so thankful here at San Angelo for our college students. And we want their conduct to be right. And we have a little problem every now and then. But those young men are going to be, before you know it, looking around to see that pretty girl like Hilton and Sarah over here. They met at ASU or university. But you know, we've got a bunch of them. I think, 21, 22 college students in our, some of them are out today, some of them are present. But you know what? We want those young people to be young married folks. And somebody said, "I cannot stand to hear a baby cry in a congregation." Oh, I love to hear them. I know when I hear babies crying, we've got a growing congregation. And those young men are going to be deacons and they're going to be elders. And everybody knows that we need a lot of good workers in the church. And that's our hope at San Angelo. Well, we know also that the reason for this waking up was because salvation is near. Well, I hope that I have the right view of it. I pray that I have the right view. But as I grow older, as Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, tells me that I'm going to be going to my long home, and I know it, that those that look out the windows are dim. You're all kind of blurry back there because of diabetes or something. I don't know what to call it. I know that the grinders are getting fewer. I'm not going to take my plates out to show you. But you know, you see, Solomon, in writing Ecclesiastes, described our old age. I liken to think that I walk on the stage, but I walk off the stage. And it isn't long till Clyde will be here no longer. But you know what? When I read in, what is it, Ecclesiastes 7? That the day of one's death is better than the day of one's birth. I never thought I could look at it like that. But now, you know, it's beginning to look like I am ready to meet my Maker. I'm ready to meet Him and enjoy the things that God has prepared for those that love Him. And the closer we get, the more anxious we are to get there. It's going to be wonderful. There'll be no more sorrow, no more sin, no more night. All of these things are wonderful things to think about. We're going to be putting off this old garment. But before we put it off right here in this life, we need to put on the whole armor of God. I'd like to look for just a moment with you from Ephesians, pardon me. In Ephesians, what is it? Ephesians 6. Might have to call on somebody to help me. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Well, I believe I. Oh, here it is. He said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, he gives us this. He said, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. We don't have any of that, do we, in America? No? Okay. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day. And having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth. I don't know what all they're girding about the truth with the loins. But I do know something about, you know, the armor that a soldier wears. I know he talks about these things. Let's look at them. Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. When we first went into the army back in 45, they had leggings. But then they came out with the old combat boot style that they could belt them around, you know. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Above all, taking the shield of faith. That old shield of faith, it was arrows that they protected. They'd shoot the arrows and the shield was made of wood and it put itself out as it went into it. Put on heaven. Now, he's talking about spiritual things here for us. He said, having your feet shod, having the shield of faith, wherewith you may be able to stand against all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation. You know, you had your helmet liner, and then you had your old steel helmet. I know this is not a good story, but when we boarded the ship going to the South Pacific, We went on board there in San Francisco, pulled up to the dock. You know, the ship is tied to the dock. We loaded this little boy from Matador. We got up in their bunks, and the next morning the ship was just sitting there. But anyhow, he said, "Oh, I'm sick. I'm sick. I went upside, still tied to the dog, but you know, he in his mind was sick, and he stayed sick all the way. Poor old John Green. Man, bless his heart. I know what he used his steel helmet for. And the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Have we got the sword of the Spirit? The word, we were traveling one day, a couple of elders and myself, and we stopped for gas, and the guy was, that's when you still got some help at the filling station. He was sweeping out the floorboard, and he said, raised up, and said, what are you doing with that sword in there? And the man looked at him and said, what sword? Well, that Bible, you know, the sword of the Spirit. Taking unto you the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with perseverance and supplication for all saints. You know, when we talk about that armor, I like to think of it. Having the helmet, the shield, the sword, all of these things, having your loins girt about with the truth. Well, that's what we need to wake up, because we're going to have to use that armor, taking the armor of God. Time to put on the armor of light. Time to cast off the works of darkness. Time to awake out of our sleep. Time passes so fast. 20 minutes, well, it might seem like 35, 40 for you, but it's pretty short for me. There are so many things that need to be said, but that's the time that we have allotted. Are you fully armed? Do you have your feet shod with the gospel? Do you have the shield of faith, loins girt about, helmet of salvation? Above all, that sword of the Spirit. I tell you what, it's time for us to wake up. We're not on the losing side. We may be on the side that's losing a lot of our Christians by desertion, because the elders are asleep. They would not allow all of these emulated things into the brotherhood. If the elders would say, no, that's far enough, no more. No more, that's it. Well, so much. Do you listen to the Word of God? Jesus said, go into all of the world and preach the gospel to every creature. A lot of people heard it gladly and they obeyed that the Word of God, our salvation is here. And, of course, there were churches established in Macedonia and Corinth and Ephesus and all of those little places. It grew and it grew. But something happened to the church at Ephesus, to the church at Sardis. Well, Philadelphia and Smyrna were two that remained faithful when John wrote, but something happened to those. They're not here today. What happened to Ephesus, the church in Ephesus? Philippi, what happened? Well, there's one at Philadelphia that was strong, but it's not there today. Well, you get the point this morning. We could become history as a congregation at 9th and Main, but we want to stay strong. And we've got to have that armor to stay strong. Could I really ask each one of you to say, I want to wake up, I want to put on the whole armor of God. You make that determination in your heart. But don't be like the seed on the turning row, or the seed in the stony ground, or the seed that fell among the briars and thorns that just choked it out. But be among the good soil that brought forth fruit, some 60, 40, 60, 100-fold. It's wonderful what the farmers are able to do today with the good seed that they're able to plant. The multiple bushels of wheat and grain that they can produce. But let's don't just do it for profit for ourselves, but that the gospel can be used for the Lord. If you're here this morning and you're subject to the invitation of Christ, we want you to think about these things. It could be that you're ready to obey the gospel this morning because you have seed that has fallen into good hearts. Brother Stockton will be preaching tonight, and we want to come back and hear him as he preaches the Word of God. If you're here this morning, subject to the invitation of Christ, want your sins washed away, that invitation is yours to come, believing with all of your heart, repenting of your sins, confessing him before men, and having your sins washed away. Would you come as together we stand and sing?